Hi, I'm Doris. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Doris.
Thank you for inviting me here. I've never been. I don't know the person that asked me, but I'm glad to be of service for OA. Oh, hi. Thank you. Thanks for calling. I love OA. I've been in since, I think, about 17 years, and this is my plan. My plan is to go to OA and to keep going to OA. So that's probably what you're going to hear me say, is keep coming back. The way I felt when I started coming was hopeless, demoralized, isolated, lonely, disgusted. I just was in a terrible, terrible state about my body and about my life in general. And I was using food to try to solve problems that it couldn't solve. And that had always been the case for me. I grew up in a home with one of my parents was alcoholic, and the other one didn't like that, and also ate, and there's just a lot of drama going on at home. And food was my solution to that. So I grew up in Berkeley, and I didn't wear my shoes or brush my hair until I was about 12, so I didn't really know any of that there was a problem. I mean, I didn't like that I was fatter than everybody else, and there's certain things that happened that made me feel that I had a cousin, and everybody's like, look, she's twice as wide as her. Like, that idea of being bigger than some perfect girl, you know, like, I developed an idea that there was something about my body that was just wrong, and I had this idea that one day I would wake up, and it was like a Velcro suit, it would just be taken off, and then I'd have a normal body, just like everybody else. That actually has never happened. So I'm still waiting for that to happen. But when I started to get interested in boys, it started being a problem. My size was a problem. One of my closest friends said something to me, like, about her brother, who I was really sweet on. You know, well, he liked you, but he said you're fat. So girls are so horrible, right? I don't know if anybody here grew up with girls, but they can be awful. And they make, anyway. So I started trying to diet once a year. You know, I'd go for my checkup. And then for, like, it was in June. And I know, like, for the week before the checkup, I would try to do everything that the doctors had said the year before. So I would, like, just eat celery and then stand on my head, or try. I was totally incapable of doing that. But I would try. Like, that was my solution to my body, was celery and headstands that I couldn't do. So, I mean, I had no clue about how to take care of my body or what was proper food, and all I really wanted was, like, cheese and salami. So I couldn't really live on that, but that was all I craved. So what happened was that I tried to pretend that I didn't have a body. I just sort of was this way. I had a cousin who was much bigger than me in New York, and people used to say, she's so pretty. She has such a pretty face. You know, it's like, oh, but too bad about the rest of her. You know, kind of a feeling. And that's how I developed about myself. Like, well, as long as I'm smiling, nobody's going to look at my body. It just isn't happening. And all this was going on underneath. I had no idea that any of this was happening. I just was going on, like, pretending. I'm going to act as if this isn't happening, as if I'm not compulsive about food, as if it's not depressing that I can't lose weight. And then in high school, I was given what to me was a huge part in a musical, and the director took me aside. I was so happy, and he's like, yeah, but you have to lose weight. He actually said that to me. And I don't think it's probably not PC now for somebody to do that. And it certainly didn't feel PC at the time, but that's what he did. And so I went to Weight Watchers for the first time. So that began a cycle of losing weight, doing the plan perfectly, and then for some reason, losing the willingness to do it. And that's what mystifies me about this situation, is like, well, if there's some way that I could eat so that I could be a size I wanted to be, like, why wouldn't I eat that way? Well, you know, I guess I'm a compulsive eater. That might be true. I think it is true. But I can't diet, it turns out. So that was the first time. When I came to OA many years later and I did a food history, first time I did it by decades, just to kind of get a sense of what's going on. And I came out with a list of foods that I just really needed to not eat, a short list that I had seen, that I had eaten compulsively in the past, and there was a good chance I was going to eat them compulsively again. But that food history was really interesting because it showed me how many times I had gained and lost the same 40 pounds. I mean, I'd never been huge, way bigger than I wanted to be and way bigger than my friends, but it was always about 40 pounds that I was able to lose and then gain back again and again and again. And when I did my food history, I saw that I had done that so many times that it was like the equivalent of a whole other body. You know, like that was shocking to me. Somehow doing the math, I was like, well, this is a thing. I'm really doing this. This is a lifeline. This is my plan, really, after all those years. Anyway, so that was my 5 minutes. So I'll just say what happened was that after I had my son, I gained way more weight than I thought was normal, that the doctors thought was normal. I gained 65 pounds. And I had a hell of a time getting it off, like a lot of people do. And eventually, I did go back to Weight Watchers to try again. And I did it perfectly. And I had my name up on the wall and a little star, you know? And then my mother died. And she was the second of my parents to die. And I don't know why this is. I've learned that it's just pretty common. Like, the one death kind of echoed the last death and every other death that I had had in my life. And the grief that opened up, the chasm of grief that opened up in me was, it sucked up all the willingness to take care of myself on every possible level. Unless there was something I was doing for my son, there was nothing that I could do for myself. So whatever I was willing to do about my food, I had the efforts. I didn't care anymore. It didn't matter. And I kind of think that eating at that point was kind of a wish for death. It's like I wanted it to be over. Like I wanted to kind of follow my mother in a way into death. And obviously it impacted me very deeply. And so there I was, gaining the weight again, watching it come up again, and unwilling to do the things I knew could help me. And at the time, my mother was an alcoholic, and she never quit. But I had developed this idea that I didn't have an addictive problem. It was my sister, my mother, then my husband, who was not only an alcoholic but abusive, and it was a shit show at home. Excuse my language. That in that situation that I didn't have a problem. He had a problem, and everybody else had a problem. And the food wasn't a problem. But then what happened was that he hit bottom, and so did my sister around the same time. And the situation with my sister is still sort of difficult 22 years later, but she's clean and sober 22 years. And my husband's clean and sober 20 years. And I don't know about you guys, but like sobriety is a beautiful thing. To see somebody who's really like living in hell and then for them to get sober and to seek a spiritual solution to their problems, like, I really wanted that. And I didn't have any other solution about my food problem. And my food was not solving my mother's death. So whatever it was doing, it wasn't working. I think that's its big failure, is it doesn't work. I'd probably keep trying it if it would work. But it didn't make me feel any better. It just made me feel worse. Like, it took a difficult problem and it made it way worse. Because then I felt bad about myself. Anyway, so I definitely didn't want to come to OA. Many people in my life had told me I had weight problems, had told me I needed a solution. Some people in OA they'd proselytized. They just did all the wrong things. You know, oh, you got a problem. You should do what I'm doing because it's so wonderful. Everything they said just made me feel disgusted. I wanted nothing to do with OA. And when I first came to the meetings, I had that same attitude. I hated it. I thought it was a cult. I didn't believe anything anybody said that was positive. I really believed that it was all just people lying to themselves. But I didn't, it's like the last house on the block kind of feeling. And so I kept coming because I started to see that there was a possibility for me to have a spiritual solution to this malady that I was suffering from, which to me I've kind of come to see as the family disease of alcoholism and how it manifests in me. But maybe it's just the family. Maybe it's family, you know, I don't know. Maybe other families don't have it, but But to me, this is how I cope with stress. It still doesn't work. Overeating doesn't work. It doesn't meet the needs that I have. Nor does obsessing about my body, nor does dieting. But having a sponsor, going to meetings, being of service, actually helps me. Learning to meditate, exercising. These things really help me. So I guess my story is that I wasn't at my top weight, but I believed I was getting there. I was spiraling back to my top, back to my top weight. I came to meetings. I didn't want anyone to talk to me. Somebody called me. She kept calling me. I kept hoping she wouldn't call me. She was really kind of scary. She's kind, but terrifying to talk to. And she just kept calling me. And eventually I asked her to meet with me. And we met every week for a while. We did the steps. And that was really life-changing for me. The reason for that is that if you look in the steps, there's simple, basic questions that we can answer, like one question at a time, and have a change inside of ourselves. That we don't have to stay exactly the way that we are. One of the big things that is still true for me, but I've changed, is that I'm agnostic. So coming to OA, our literature is written in the 30s. It uses God, capital G, in what to me is a really out-of-date kind of way of talking about it. I was really turned off and upset by that. And I really needed to spend time with another member who could understand how I felt, to walk through all the questions in step one, which is about powerlessness and unmanageability, which I felt that I totally understood that. I needed to have her walk with me through step two, which is about coming to believe that there's a spiritual solution to this problem. That seemed impossible, that I could come to believe that I had a higher power or that it would help me. But it was at step three, where we make a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of a higher power, that is when I was able to get abstinent. I couldn't get abstinent before. I can't get abstinent on my own. This isn't about me deciding on a diet and having me perfect. But having a higher power, what it looked like at first was that I gradually developed the willingness to go to bed after dinner. Not sit in front of the TV with my husband who was eating everything he could find. If I sit next to him and he's doing that, what are my chances? You know? I had decided that eating in front of the TV was a major problem, and I wanted to not do that. So that meant that after dinner, I had to take myself physically up the stairs and go to bed. And so or go in my room, at least away from him. So for 3 weeks, I was willing to do that. And then at the end of 3 weeks, I was willing to call someone. And then I called someone. And then I talked to them and I complained and I, just told them everything that was upsetting me. And then I slowly became willing to pray. What was I praying to? Doesn't matter. Maybe my sponsor's higher power. I don't know. Could have been anything. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it could be anything. Not me was the whole point. At the time, I was thinking about things in the universe that I've seen, that I understand exist, that I have no clue how they happened. Like the eyeball. I have nothing to do with that. And many, many other scientific things, I have no idea what they're about. So I was turning my will and my life and my body over to sort of the unknown. And to this day, that's a higher power for me. You know, that's a meditation I say to myself, hello, unknown. And just try to be more and more comfortable with the uncertainty of life on life's terms. Why that helps me, I don't know. But there I was in my room. I prayed for help. You know, please help me not eat in front of the TV. And I've been abstinent since then. So it was September 17 years ago. I don't know why that worked. I can't say my food's perfect. I eat 3 meals a day. There's foods I don't eat, chocolate, cakes, this kind of thing. If I have a snack, it has to have protein in it. Do I wish I was 5 pounds thinner? Do I think it's my fault that I'm not? Yeah. That might just be part of being a compulsive overeater. Is my body perfect? No. But am I learning to love it as it is and to enjoy having a body? Yes. So I'm on a path, and I don't want to get off of it. I'm just going to keep coming back. I think that's probably time now.
10 seconds.
Oh, 10 seconds. Okay. So anyway, that's just, I didn't say in the beginning, this is my story, and I don't represent OA for any newcomers. It's suggested that you go to 6 different meetings before you decide if OA is right for you. And again, I don't represent OA. I'm just, you know, one member. And if you didn't hear anything from me, please keep coming back. There's a lot of recovery in OA, and help is available. So, thanks.